Of one mind. Have you ever noticed how many of us live our lives as if we're crabs in a barrel? We pull each other down. We try to get into a lane and ease other cars out. We run and jump ahead of someone in the checkout line. We're crabs in a barrel. I don't know what it's like for you, but that crab in a barrel mentality is all over the place. We're not actually working together as if we're in this thing called life together. And too often people suggest that they support a particular view or a stance on things, and yet their actions go in a different direction. Of course, we have our doubts, suspicions, and apprehensions about different things. Absolutely, that's human nature. But at the same time, there is this conflict that many have with respect to going public with true feelings. Going public with feelings of positions on certain topics, opinions about certain things. Something gets in the way of our owning our true and honest and sincere feelings. Something definitely gets in the way of sharing these thoughts and feelings publicly. After the resurrection of Jesus, the same thing was going on. There were people who didn't believe. While we know the rise of Christianity came as a result of the death of Jesus and the resurrection, there were many who just did not believe. There were folks who wanted proof. In terms of how we look at it today, these people would probably say, well, you know, I want the hard and fast forensic evidence. Show me the facts. We work very hard at getting the data, the statistics, the proof, the evidence, in order to formulate an opinion. That's not the nature of faith. Faith is not based on facts. Faith is based on defying facts. That's not how spiritual life works in a fact-based world. And it's always interesting that when we are presented with the miraculous, we're surprised. When we're presented with the miraculous, as Christians, we're surprised. We're surprised that things didn't turn out the way we thought they would, that things actually turned around. And so many of us don't believe that the miraculous has shown up as miraculous. We chalk it up to this thing we would rather call luck. And then after the miraculous takes place, we go about the business of trying to prove how it happened with elements that are not faith-based. We try to get the statistics. We try to get the data. We try to support it in logical terms. The nature of faith is that it is not based in logic. There's no logical basis or context for it. That's why it's faith. How many times have we encountered doctors who predicted one thing and had things turn out in a completely different way? How many times have we heard them give a person, oh, you only have 1 or 2 months left to live or whatever, and then many, many years later, the person finally expires? How many times have you or I been spared from dramatically harmful events and we just walk away like, phew, with a sigh of relief, chalking it up to luck, chalking it up to fate, not acknowledging the miraculous? And how many times have we been presented with a way out of no way? With a resolution towards something that we couldn't even begin to imagine how certain things would turn out. Oh, way too often, we chalk these things up to luck. That's the intellectual side of ourselves offering a rational judgment, conclusion, or rationale for why things turn out the way they do. And what's even more interesting, and I guess if I were God, what's even more offensive is that when we are presented with the miraculous, we simply take it for granted. We don't stop and say thanks. When was the last time you offered a prayer of thanks for the occurrence of a miracle in your life? When was the last time you saw the miraculous demonstrated in your life? In the book of John, Thomas, often known as Doubting Thomas, he had heard about the resurrection from other disciples. They reported the news to him, but his reaction was not to believe it. He just didn't believe what was going on. He didn't believe what had happened. And he actually told the disciples, says, you know, I'm not going to believe it until I actually see the wounds and the scars and see it for myself. Now, after Thomas saw Jesus, he was stunned into belief. He was stunned into an awareness that, yes, this really did happen. Now, Jesus went on to just ridicule and chide the disciples. He told them that it's one thing to believe if you've seen it, but it's another thing to believe without seeing it. That's real belief. That's real faith. And as a result of this encounter, as a result of Thomas actually seeing the wounds, taking Jesus' invitation to actually touch the wounds with his own hands, Thomas was convinced about the resurrection. So it's one thing to believe because you've seen it. It is a more powerful stance to take when you can believe without seeing. That's faith. Now, after Thomas and the other disciples had seen Jesus, there was established a commonality in thought. They were aligned in their faith in that moment. They came together in faith in such a way that they were empowered, enlightened, and lifted to a higher level. When we become of one mind, we can change the world. When we become of one mind in Christ, we become a powerful entity. That's what happened with Jesus and the disciples. And that's what happens and is available with us when we become of that one Christ mind. God bless.